Right, hello and welcome to the 7th Manx Footy Pod of the season. On this week's podcast, myself and Dave.
Hi everyone.
Are joined by a veritable gaggle of Isle of Man FA players in the form of skipper Frank Jones, Alex Harrison and Jack McVeigh, ahead of Saturday's Interleague Cup tie with the Peterborough District League. Right, chaps, welcome to Podcast Towers. Thanks for joining us ahead of this weekend's game at the Bowl. Jack, welcome, first timer. You know, the other two are old hands at this now. Is it as luxurious as you imagined?
Yeah, you've spent a lot on the budget here.
Yeah, well, to be fair, most of the budget's gone on the biscuits. You, Alex, you've already had about half a pack there, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Yeah, I was explaining before we started recording, I got some Maryland Cookies Thins this week. Have you had one yet, Dave?
No, I will afterwards, if there's any left.
I got it because obviously you've spent quite a lot of time in America. Is that a big brand in America, Maryland?
I think it's a big brand, isn't it?
It shows you what I know. And the Thins,
because
you've got a big game Saturday, Frank, well put it in there. And, but I was just saying, I think it's a bit of a false economy, because you can think you can have loads of them, when in fact it's just the same as having three of the normal size. And yeah.
Do you have a favourite biscuit, guys?
Yeah.
I like penguins.
Penguins? Mm-hmm. Old school. Mm-hmm. Do you read the joke every time?
Yeah.
Cool.
Every time.
So he gets a sense of humor.
Frank, I was going to say, you must be a bit of a biscuit connoisseur as a plumber. You must get offered quite a few in houses.
I'm terrible for chocolate. I'm trying to get offered, to be honest with you.
Foxes?
Any?
I don't remember. The round, thick chocolate ones.
Okay.
What about the shortbread ones with the chocolate in the middle of them?
Yeah, they're great as well, aren't they? Yeah. Just anything Foxes, to be honest with you. So next time we get
brand ambassador Frank Jones. Jack,
Anything that goes good with a cup of tea, I think.
Right, okay.
Bourbon biscuits, custard creams.
Andy Ball was a big bourbon fan, wasn't he?
Yeah, he still is.
Yeah, he still is. Well, yeah, he still is. We broke out. We had a couple of selections that day.
He did well that day. He's really squalling.
That I pretty much did. Literally spend most of the budget on that day. But enough about biscuits. I suppose we should talk about football. Big game on Saturday. We've got the Peterborough and District League, the mighty Peterborough and District League, visiting our shores on Saturday night for a game at the Bowl, 6 o'clock kickoff for anyone at a loose end. Frank, what's the mood in the camp? Everyone up for this one?
Yeah, it's been really good. There's been a lot of new faces down, a lot of players knocking around, considering Paul's only been in the job. We've had three proper sessions. We had one like a meet and greet session at the very start, which it wasn't a great vast numbers. But after that, it's really picked up. We've had, I don't know, maybe 25, 26 players down every week. It's been competitive. Obviously, having Dicko and Stevie Burns involved, they've made the sessions really competitive. Focused on a few things, so it's been it's really good, I think.
It's been a bit of a breath of fresh air, almost. You obviously had a couple of months off since Scotland, haven't you? And it's been nice to get back involved in the island setup.
Yeah, it was a busy, obviously, summer for us with Cyprus and Scotland, and then when we come back, it was good to have that break. And then all of a sudden, it goes quicker than you think, and you're back into the season. And now the Isle of Man's flat out at it again, obviously, with Saturday, and then we take off on Tuesday to Scotland. And hopefully, if we win on Saturday, I think the next round will be November, the end of November, yeah. Something like that. So it'll be thick and fast from now, I think.
I was speaking to Paul O'Brien at the last weekend's under-18s game, and he was saying, see, for you, Geordie's, you know, you've got basically 3 weeks off almost from club football. How has that sort of affected any preparations for it or for Geordie's season? How do you sort of approach that?
I don't think it has affected it, to be honest. We've trained still twice a week, but the training's obviously been a little bit more harder.
Yeah.
And now we've got these games coming up. It just keeps Geordie's players taking over, and the other people that are representing their clubs keeps them taking over. For the teams that aren't playing and the players that aren't playing for the island, maybe they have to do a bit more work and training and whatever else, and it might disrupt them a bit more. But I think there's six Geordie's players in the squad. So that's like, you know, over half the team. So it keeps them ticking over nicely.
And you look at the league, just for very briefly for a second, obviously Corinthians have gone top now, and they'll play again this weekend. How does that sort of affect, because forever it seems like everyone's chasing you guys at the top of the table. It's reversed it slightly, even if it is only for a few weeks. How does that feel, is it?
I don't think, if you ask the players, we don't take much notice of the table at this present moment in time. It doesn't really reflect anything on it. We just know what we're aiming for through the whole campaign.
Yeah.
And we'll just take kind of each Saturday that we win every Saturday, and at the end of the season, the outcome hopefully will be in our favour. Yeah. As if we do start, maybe it's not about missing games. It's like a couple of years ago when you lose games, yeah, then you start kind of looking at the league table. Mm. But as long as you know you've got them games to play in hand and whatever, it's probably obviously always better to have them on the board than in hand. But I think we'd only start looking at the league as we did a couple of years ago. That's why I mentioned when we got beat by Peel, and
yeah,
you're trying to see kind of results then. But that only comes the last month or so, you know. It's yeah, where we won't be too fussed on what's going on at the minute.
We'll talk about back to Saturday's game. Obviously, it's a bit of a blow. Mr. McNulty's away publicising his new book, Mr. 300 in California. But Alex, you got a few of the older faces have returned to the fold this week. I'll be able to get me Julian Ringham replica shirt out for Saturday. He's back in the fold, as well as Mr. Quay, Mark Kelly and Lee Gale. So is it nice to have them lads back around the squad?
Yeah, it's just good to have some experience, especially the likes of Sean and Julian, who have, you know, done it all before. Great players still. I mean, Julian's probably still the best fullback on the Isle of Man. And Quay is, you know, arguably the best centre-back in the Isle of Man, so it's definitely good to have them involved again. And it's good for the younger lads coming through to look up to the likes of Quay and Judge. So yeah, it's good.
And what's it been like, Paul, back in the, you know, is taking, as you say, it's only been a few weeks, but has it been anything different, or is it...
It's, you know, there's new ideas. When we press the ball, he's got us pressing a little bit differently, pressing, you know, higher up the pitch. In terms of training's definitely difficult. You know, every time we're down there, it's a tough session. But going back to when Hurt was involved, it was the same then. I thought the sessions were good still. Obviously, we have a lot more numbers down now, so he's, you know, it's good. It's good. It's very competitive, so there's a lot of new faces, like Frank said, but no, it's good.
It's been a long wait since the last Italy Cup game, obviously, and it didn't exactly go to plan last time, but you must be sort of chomping at the bit just to get back out there now. And do you know much about Peterborough District? Do you know their strengths and weaknesses, or is it just...
I haven't played in the end. I think I played three games or something in the last one.
Yeah.
I don't think the teams were that great in the first few rounds. I don't know whether it's the same this time. I feel like the teams could be different every other year, because the way the English counties, I've heard that they just throw in like the league winners or they don't bring in the select 11.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's funny you should say that. Actually, I just sorry to cut in, but I was talking to Eric briefly this morning, and he said the competition is introducing changes to that. So you're only allowed to have seven from one club, and then five on
stars,
so as you say, I think it was traditionally the league champions just were then thrown in the next season, but now they're actually going to be more of a representative 11. I'm doing my best, lads. I've been following them on Twitter, but they're giving nothing away. I said we should be favorites for this, shouldn't we, Frank? You know, we've been to the final three times, won it twice. This is our bread and butter, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And obviously, just touching on it, we've had a meeting with Paul, and we know what his aim is. It's not, obviously, it is to win the Systems Cup, because what his end goal is, he wants to go to the English amateurs and be then the first England team to get out of the group and go to the major final tournament. And that's what we all want to do, really, because that's the standard where we should be, I think, something up around there. Like, not when we won it last time, and we probably didn't have a great preparation, as in, because when we won it, we only had like a month or so, and then we were straight into the England thing, where I know when they won it the first time, they had like a full year. They had like San Marino, then they went a full year before they went again, where the time we won it, we went to Ireland, and then straight to Slovakia in the September, and I don't think the preparation was great for us, and we come up against a very good kind of group, I think.
Yeah, with Germany were in that group, weren't they?
I was only laughing at Julian. I said that's why he's come back, because I asked him how many caps he had the other day. We were talking about it, and he said he's on 69.
Yeah.
And I said, what was your last cap? Can you remember? And he said, yeah, when we got beat 7-0 by Germany. So I said, oh, is that why you've come back? So you can kind of have to finish on that one. But I think going back to it, Jonesy's idea is to get there, you know, that's what we want to do. And obviously we've got to overcome these counties, and it's hard because everyone kind of says that we are better than it, and I do believe that we are better than this standard, but we've got to go through it to get to to get to where we want to go with. And it's not about playing for kind of England, it's just about playing at that level, and maybe being the first England team to get out of the group and go to the major tournament the year after, or whenever that is.
Alex, is there any pressures that come with it? Obviously, we've said that we don't know much about Peterborough and District League, but I'm guessing they'll know a bit about us. You know, we're the we're probably going to be the favourites. Maybe Guernsey and Jersey are going to play it this year, but we're the ones to be shot at, really. Is there a pressure that comes with that?
I think from a personal level, I like playing for the Isle of Man and Meath also because I get like a little bit of a buzz and prepare properly for it. In terms of the tournament, I've never watched a game, I've never played in a game in the NLS Cup, so I don't know what the standard's like at all. But I guess that the likes of ourselves, Jersey, I'm not sure if Guernsey in it as well, but would come in as favourites because of, you know, we haven't got the level to play at that next, you know, level six or whatever it is. So we're kind of stuck at this level. So I think we are the team to beat, and I mean, pressure's not a bad thing.
No.
Some of our players probably don't feel pressure. I know Jack doesn't feel pressure, but you know, it's not a bad thing. So I think there is a little bit of pressure there, but it's good pressure.
Taking away the obvious cost and stuff, travel on a final, but do you guys prefer playing a home fixture, or would you rather go away? Is it better for team bonding to travel away for a whole weekend and stuff, or obviously it must be nice playing in front of the home crowd?
Depends if we win or not.
It's a bit of both. It's a bit of both. I think you want to play at home because it's at home, and I think traditionally the Isle of Man do get a good crowd compared to the other teams away. But I like going away as well, just because it's nice to get off Ireland for a couple of days, and like you said, the team bonding is good when you're in the hotel for a day. Everyone gets together and things like that.
I think when you go away, you are a bit more focused, obviously, on the job. Because in regards to kind of the cost kind of thing on this one, you don't pay for anything anyway because the English FA fund it all. But if you go away, say we'd be going tomorrow tea time, when everyone gets to the airport, you know what you're going to do. You're going to do a job type thing, you're going to play football, and then the lads will have a good laugh around the hotel Friday night and they're ready for the game on the Saturday to play. Come tomorrow, people can be working late, could be doing whatever they want, and then you get up Saturday and you could have kids, you could have anything, they could be doing anything all day Saturday, you know, and they could be working all day, and they turn up to the bowl at 4:30 and maybe not switched on. But I don't know, I think the group of lads will be professional enough to sort themselves out and get ready for that game tomorrow. But going back to obviously, I'd probably rather go away, to be honest with you.
Sometimes normality is good though, you know, the same thing over and over again. Whereas when you do something different, like going away and staying in hotels, you might not be on the same sort.
Yeah, if you go back and you ask probably the whole squad, you'd probably get a split decision. You'd get so many people that love going away and so many people love playing at home.
And what about the 6 o'clock kickoff? You know, is it going to be a case of you guys just kicking your heels around in the day, or you've got that anticipation, you just want to get out of the way, or is it quite nice just to have a chilled run into it?
Going back to like Paul taking over, he's been very kind of open booked with us, to be fair, and he sat us down there was the three of us and Liam Cowan and Lee Gale as kind of like a spokesgroup to appoint for the players, and he asked us what we wanted to do. Did we want to meet at 1:30, 2:00 and have a meal and sort all that out and kind of go through team things? And but I just think it can be a bit prolonged if you scratch around somewhere, like Alex just said before, about being probably a bit in the normality and just kind of doing your own thing and turn up an hour and a half before like you do on a normal Saturday and going about your day that way. So that's what the majority of the players pick, so that's what we'll be doing. But it could turn into like a long day. I think everyone's different again, aren't they?
Yeah.
I think it's quite exciting having like a late kickoff
with the floodlights. Yeah.
So I might add to the
I watched the under-18s last weekend, you know, same kickoff time, and that went the whole distance. And it has that special feeling, doesn't it, under the floodlights, you know, and obviously extra time as well. And what a way for those boys to win it. Did you guys see any of the game? I mean, I think the Almond senior team obviously made a bit of a habit of these dramatic games over the years. Do you sort of take any inspiration from watching the juniors do that?
First time in 7 years they've done it, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm happy for them to, like you said, 7 years. It's you know, it's about time basically.
Yeah.
It's about time they've got out the first round or won a game in that tournament. It's a bit of a shame how no one has, but it just shows that is the standard getting worse for a reason? Has it been coming this basically?
Yeah.
You know, why is that? Why haven't they got out the first round? Is the standard over there getting better, or are we not progressing, or are we getting worse?
Well, Lewis said last week, we asked the very same question, and he said, you know, to be fair, when you guys got to the semi-final, you had an exceptional group, but he also said the standard is getting a bit across. I think that probably I think we talked about it last week with them. We you know, our 18s don't play fixtures yeah. after, so if they'd been knocked out last week, that'd be them yeah. till next summer.
I think play. That's half the issue. I think yeah. Those guys over there, yeah. they play in like a county league.
Yeah, they play three or four
and
games.
And the Isle of Man obviously aren't doing that. They play what one, two yeah. games a year, and yeah. some of the preparation's not very.
I think how long do they have to? Fair enough, they won on Saturday, and yeah. I think everyone. We were saying Jack Amada was down with us training yeah. last night. And the lads were saying congratulations, and yeah. I think all the senior lads will be made up that they've done it. But I just think how long does it take for someone to make that decision that we haven't won a game in 7 years? Like, okay, so we put an 18s together, we don't have any friendlies, we don't do this and that. They're obviously training, yeah. but how long are they training for? They go in the County Cup, they get knocked out in the first round, okay, next year we'll do the same next year. And that went on for 7 years, and now do they... Are they still training? Are they going to play like maybe try and get another friendly, even against the club? Like even the under 18s, could they not play a first team club side?
I think they have been, to be fair, playing club yeah. sides, and they had to in the warm up to last week's game.
Yeah.
The next round is the 28th of October. I said
yes,
it's the end of this month.
So close.
Yeah, so I'm guessing the momentum they'll just keep going.
Yeah.
They might. I'm guessing play squad games with maybe some of you guys or whatever. Yeah,
it's hard to comment on it because you don't see. Because you're not involved in the setup, yeah. it's easy to stand on the outside and say, oh, they're not doing this and they're not doing that, because you don't really see it like that there. But, like you say, it's 7 years and they haven't won a game, it's something to look at, isn't it? But if yeah. you change it this year and they have been doing more squad yeah. games than they have, and then next thing you win, yeah. is it, you know?
But you said that they were by far the dominant side.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, they dominated throughout, they had so many chances, they could have easily won it by half-time, to be honest, but... You know, every time that the other side scored, it was just against the run of play. But Cumberland, to be fair, they took their chances.
And it is another Geordie spine to that side now. Sid Batty, Johnny Quirk, obviously mm-hmm. they're both away at Mysco at the moment. But
yeah.
Sid was your man of the match, wasn't he?
Well, yeah, he ran the show. He was really, really impressive.
Sid's the one that stands out for me as well, I think.
Yeah.
I think he's a very good player.
And you know there was a couple of others. There was Lewis Brighton as well. Wasn't
there? Lewis played well.
Joel played as well. Didn't
yeah.
He?
Yeah. Yes. And
Jay.
Matthew Wilkinson. Jay played well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kept his cool. Scored the penalty. Sure. Yeah. I think there's a lot of talent right the way throughout that squad. I think. And I think for them to win it in the way that they won it will obviously give them a lot of confidence. Because I know when you guys won that epic down at the bowl 5-3, that gave you guys confidence for the rest of the tournament as well, didn't it?
Yeah, it's good, obviously, to win it that way, isn't it? To win any kind of game, and as long as you win, it's all that last minute and you win, it's great, isn't it? It's never ever like a great game when you're 5-6-0. It's good to win, obviously, you want to win, but it's nice to win that way. As long as you do get over the line, it's a lot better feeling.
So. So tell us about Gotland then. I mean, obviously involved with the squad, they did so well to win gold. Where does that sort of rank with your achievements within football,
Jack?
Listen, it was a great achievement because it was the first time they've ever won gold.
Yeah.
And that is the only achievement that I can say from it, because I've been three times. That was my third time now, and I think this is the worst standard it's been.
Right.
I don't know if that's because other teams have progressed into other tournaments and they've prioritised other tournaments, i.e. like Gibraltar maybe, and even Greenland. I don't know if Greenland have filtered their senior players through somewhere else, because I know they're pushing for other things. But when I was in Ireland, I thought the standard there was reasonably high. It was quite high. Jersey, there was a lot more better teams than there was in Gotland. Like Jersey's team wasn't as strong, I don't think, as it was in Jersey, which is understandable because it's a home team.
And I know Guernsey had played essentially under the 23 squad, didn't they?
Yeah. It's just unfortunate how that's our number one tournament to go to when these other teams are sending their, let's say, B squad to it, and we're calling it our major achievement, like our biggest achievement the Isle of Man have done. And these teams are putting B teams out. It looks good on paper, but in reality, it's quite sad, really, isn't it? I think
you have to boil it down to standards. It's like that's our pinnacle, as Jack said. But you look at Guernsey; their standards way higher than ours. They're playing away every week. Obviously, they got the funds for it, but it's just our our pinnacle's not as high as theirs, but it's not to say they're better than us. They've got better opportunities.
I think the Island Games is a UK in a way, because I think Jack's right. I don't know about the other sports. Obviously, you've been to a couple now. But I think the financial pressures on everyone going to the Island Games, not just footballers, means essentially, possibly, that not the best athletes go anymore. It's those that can afford it, or those associations that can afford it. I don't know, you still there. You know, you obviously, you saw the rest of the sports. And
yeah, and I think that's a very valid point. I mean, we obviously saw a few years ago when the games were in Bermuda, and it was threadbare, because hardly anyone could send it, could they?
Yeah.
You know, it obviously plays into it, and it is a shame. But I think if we switch back to what the Isle of Man should do, you think, obviously Jersey had good news last week, didn't they?
Yeah, the Court of Arbitration for Sport have now said that they're going, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't apply for UEFA membership, as far as they can see.
Yeah.
They've got, there's a congress next spring, isn't it, in Slovakia?
Yeah, I believe it is, Bratislava, I think. Yeah.
And when they'll go before the decision, we'll wait to see. That there's a lot to be a massive charm offensive now with everyone's for Jersey for UEFA. So there'll be lots of people getting butter and such like that from Jersey. But yeah, so it's definitely, and I think they played the Northern Ireland under 21s last night. I don't know what squad the Northern Ireland sent, but I know they've got an under 21 qualifier next week, so presumably they've been fairly handy.
It just keeps the door open, doesn't it? Just
But I also saw Jersey again. They played their average age of 23 last night in that game. Jim Cannon, Jack Cannon, the one that scored against us in the final.
Yeah,
one.
Left back.
He scored an absolute thunderbolt in that final. And he was missing, and so was someone else. But yeah, it just shows you that they're going for it.
They're trying to go forward.
I
just think from our point of view, when I first kind of got on the Island team, like say 10, 12 years ago it was, you talk to the older lads that were in it, and the Systems Cup was like a massive thing, kind of just come on, and like everyone was like, and it was so hard to kind of win. The Island Games was unbelievable to go to, and it was so hard to win. And now I've been in there and I'm like a senior now, I look at it and I'm just a bit like, the Systems Cup, we should win it all the time, you know, it's just like we've gone, it's like everyone else has kind of in maybe 10 or 12 years moved on and gone different avenues, and we've become, we've had the same team, the same squad all the way through, and we've come kind of to the top now, you know, because everyone else has gone different avenues, and probably the same with the Island Games a little bit, I think. The Island Games, it's like going back to thing. It was a great achievement, and we won gold, first ever team to do it from the Isle of Man, and it was an amazing experience. But there's a handful of teams there out of the 12 or 16 teams out of there. There's three or four good teams, and that's the same in Jersey, and it was the same when we went to the kind of the Isle of Wight, and it's luck of the draw to a point, like, and Callum scored that winner in Gotland in the last minute against Guernsey to put us through, and we went on and we won the gold. On another flip side there, you're in the bronze playoff, you know, so it's like it's such a fine line there.
That was almost the final, I said today, when we've talked about it since, after you got past there, I didn't really, I know Greenland's the size of, it's massive, isn't it, but I just didn't have any worries about Greenland. I don't know how you felt as a squad when you got there, but I just thought,
I think Greenland took it like we did in Jersey to a point, as in we beat Jersey in that home crowd and it was like one over them after them beating us on our home turf. We got to the final, I think everyone was happy that we kind of, it was the first time that we kind of, we were going to get a medal, and we got beat by Guernsey on that day by a better team 3-0, and that was it. And we were kind of, so when we went to Gotland, it kind of played for us a little bit, because we didn't want silver, because most of the lads have already had a silver. And I think Greenland were in our shoes from Jersey, where they were just happy to be there. And we went 2-0 up early, and they just kind of, and we just, they just fell away, didn't they? And we just kind of was very relentless.
So we'll talk about competitions, and obviously there's another one coming next week. It's a bit like buses for you guys at the moment. And the Umbro Quadrangular. Now, if we're saying that Island Games is perhaps not the standard it was, the Umbro Quadrangular still seems to be a very strong competition, and one I know we've won, but we're traditionally the underdogs in. Alex, looking ahead to that, you know, we're going to be again the underdogs again, surely. I've seen the talented, some of the names in the Scottish squad, and the players that have played league football at points in Scotland.
Yeah, we'll definitely be the underdog. I think we're the underdog every time we go there. I went there back in 2009, 2010. I didn't actually play a minute, but I went and watched. And it was, you know, the standard's very, very good. And I think it's the standard that we should be playing at more consistently. regularly throughout the season.
So Scotland are going to be strong, but the other two, Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland, will always give you a good game as well, won't they, Frank?
This is going back to, and I say this again, when was the last time was the Umbro? 4 years ago, maybe?
It was in Donegal?
Yeah.
Is that right? Ireland, yeah.
And I'm just quite intrigued to see, it's happened 4 years, I don't think the Isle of Man team's changed that much, it's still the kind of same kind of team, squad to a point. And this is the thing that what we're trying to get at is it's like we probably haven't moved forward, we've probably just stayed the same. We could come up against a Scotland or Northern Ireland or Republic of Ireland which have been doing loads of stuff and moved on and playing at different levels and challenging themselves every single week. And I think we're going to come up against three real, real strong oppositions, you know, because it's been like 4 years since the last one. We haven't played against them, and obviously Renan, they are all very good sides. Every time, I think every single year it happened over the last all them over years, the Isle of Man are the team that kind of struggles the most.
But the Republic of Ireland and Northern Ireland tend to also be in the UEFA Regions Cup. They're similar teams. It's always the same couple of few, say six or seven that feature in both. I know Northern Ireland have done quite well in that UEFA Regions, and it's been some of the players that have played us in the Umbro previously. So, you know, that if that's the point that Jonesy's saying we need to aspire to, this will be a good see a gauge of where we're at, isn't it?
Just proves that year that we won with England in a one-off game, we can play with the best, as in we played Republic of Ireland in a friendly before we went to Slovakia.
Yeah.
We beat them 1-0 on their home ground. They were a better team than us, but we dragged it out and we won 1-0. That year they went on and won it, didn't they?
Yeah.
They went on and won the UEFA Regions.
Yeah.
But it's going back, I think we can challenge any team. It's just getting that level so you're doing that kind of standard every single week or consistently. And then we could be winning the regions. Why couldn't we be winning the regions if we can beat them in a one-off game? You know, we could definitely challenge them if we can just get our standard up a little bit more.
I know it's something Hurty did when he was in charge. He wanted to bring over the likes of Everton and Leeds under 21 sides. Do you see that as a sort of a step in the right direction? Say if you could arrange more than just two friendlies a season or whatever, for the Ireland side, do you think that would be the way forward? Do you think that would help at all, or would you aim higher straight away?
I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction. Playing anyone good at that level is the right direction instead of playing, you know, going over and playing county teams or you know, whatever teams you want to beat, and then going over and winning 6-0, 7-0.
Yeah.
It's just not beneficial, I don't think.
Yeah. But if you look at that Everton team you guys played, most of them won the FPL, whatever it's called, EPL 2 last year, didn't they? The under 23s, and quite a lot of them, some of them are even on first team squad now, aren't they? I can't remember.
I've got a picture of playing against Holgate.
Yeah, Holgate.
And he's like, look at him now, he's flying, isn't he?
England, you know, 21 just, international. Yeah.
But I just remember he was over here just as in, like, why am I here type thing. Swung around in that midfield and you couldn't even get near him, and you could just tell he didn't even want to be here, and you just think he's a player.
They had another five levels to go there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what Jack does in Rexford. <football. laughs>
When we played Leeds, I think I'm pretty sure Sam Byron played for game as well.
Yeah,
he's playing for West Ham now. Yeah.
And I think Charlie Taylor played, and he plays for Burnley, left back. And there was a couple of the lads that they're sort of building their championship tilt around. The lad, was it Ronaldo? There's one called Ronaldo.
It was something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So again, it just shows you. Yeah. You know, you played some very good players there.
I think that's definitely the right direction, though. Like to play against Everton and Leeds under 21s is really. I think Paul's got a few contacts obviously in his kind of thing, so he's obviously only been in the job 4 weeks, hasn't he, of that, so hopefully that starts to happen a bit more.
I think long term they have to do what Jersey have done.
Yeah.
Like I don't see why they can't or why they won't, to be honest.
Going back to that point I just wanted to bring up before, but Frank changed the subject.
I think he gave you a biscuit.
Some sort of like referendum or something like that, wasn't it, at the FA where the clubs voted on whether they should actually look at it? Well, I mean, I quite annoyed that. I spoke to some lads from their clubs and got them to ask their club rep, do you you know, they didn't go to the players and ask the players what they wanted to do. Ultimately, it should come down to the players.
Yeah.
It should go to the players and say, right, look, do you want to do this or not? Have a vote, and the majority goes.
But
instead, that never happened at most clubs. They just gone in. Gone in and said, no, we don't want anything to do with it.
But that's a club thing, isn't it? It's right.
I think the problem does lie in with the club rep, as in, it's not a great job, is it? And I think a lot of people don't want to do it.
No.
So, but what it is, they are representing each club. So when the FA is saying, oh, well, we've had a vote and 10 of the club reps have said no, so it's out. But then you ask, then 10 club reps have said no, ask their players, did they have a vote or did anything happen at the club? The rep would probably say, oh, no, because I don't really...
No
offence to, like, even... I play for St. George's, you play thing. For St. Mary's, like... I would never see our club rep.
But isn't that the issue?
That's not an FA issue.
No,
I mean,
we can
sit here and slate the FA for that issue, but that's not their fault.
No.
But I think they could do better by promoting it more, saying, listen, there's gonna be a meeting here. Players, you know, go speak to your FA rep. Go speak to your rep. Tell them what you want, you know, and then we'll come together. I think I don't even know how many reps turned up to that meeting.
Well, I think there was.
I was away off Ireland, emergency.
I think there was most. I think it was 20 plus.
Yeah, it was certainly a surprise outcome because we thought it was gonna, you know, it was gonna.
So why go out their way just to go there and say no then?
Yeah.
If they weren't bothered, they should just not have went. Yeah. I know it would have been the same outcome, but obviously they knew why they were going there.
Yeah.
So why not ask the players or ask the club?
And we were hoping as well that it was going to be the big open discussion, didn't we, which got cancelled as well.
The football forum, which was towards the end of last year.
They blame that on selling tickets, whether that's true or not, I don't know.
How much would that would lead into then would have to go through the council anyway, so it's a bit of a moot point of that.
I think the big thing as well, it's not about like the players that it's now, because it's not going to happen, and like people that like look at the whole kind of outcome and say, yeah, well, if we play, say we did join UEFA and we end up playing in the Euros and qualifiers and all this, where are we going to play this game and how are we going to do this? But it's not that. It's like a long process.
Yeah.
It could be like 8 to 10 years. It's like,
like,
I've got a little nephew who's like 9, 10. He's playing in Brian's soccer school and the Ireland kind of school of excellence. It's like for maybe him and then below him. And if you do join kind of UEFA now or in a couple of years and then you get funding and all of a sudden you could have like a decent stadium with 10,000, 20,000 people and you've, at the minute, yeah, we're not ready as in like a, but until someone takes that stand and goes forward and pushes it, you're never going to get ready, are you?
I think it'll be interesting to see how much Jersey are put into this financially, because even for the court of arbitration alone, you know, anyone knows lawyers are a charge of fortune.
Yeah.
So for one at that level, they've obviously had to put a case together that will be another expense, and then they're going to have this charm offensive, which will be more money. So
and that's what I mean. It's not going to happen.
I mean, financially, it's going to benefit in the long run, isn't it?
Yeah. If they get in,
they're the guinea pigs, Jersey, aren't they?
Yeah.
They've gone and spent all that money and basically saved us spending that money.
Yeah.
So now we won't need to go to the Court of Arbitration Board because we just do the same thing as Jersey.
To be honest, though, Jack, I think they would, because UEFA, I think the other interesting point is UEFA would probably still make us do that, because I'm not sure. I said a couple of weeks ago, I remember which podcast, what's the Isle of Man bring to UEFA? You know, we're not going to bring prestigious. But the big point, I think, it will be if UEFA are restructuring their qualifying,
yeah,
so going to have League of Countries or something, it's going to be called. So Germany, you're never gonna, like, Jersey will never play Germany.
So it's seeded.
Yes. So they'll be playing the likes of Liechtenstein and Gibraltar, and it's gonna be more
Scotland.
But they'll be more structured, and then if they win that group, they go up and then
I think that's just common sense.
It's massively, but I don't know. If my question to you three guys, and this is just me playing devil's advocate, we get Liechtenstein at home on a Wednesday night, not the senior state, the under-18s. How many people will go to the bowl and watch Alemán play Liechtenstein under-18s on a wet Wednesday?
I mean, I don't know if that's the right question to ask, because you don't know the answer, do you, until it actually happens.
Well, I don't know.
You look at the Isle of Man when they played Leeds.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, to be fair.
There's
actually, how did it down that night, didn't it?
There was a few thousand people there.
I think it's going back to if that's the first game, yeah, you might knock it, but then the next game you might get, and the next game, and then in 5 years you could sell it out. As in, if you look back to, I always look back to the Systems Cup, who would have thought that we would have had 3,500 people fill that ball out? Okay. I would have said
that with any sport, I think.
I would have said no, but once we got 1,000 down the first time and they watched it and they thought, oh no, that was a good game. Next thing, like the next game comes around and it's the next round, and you promote it a bit more, you get another 1,000, next thing you're in the final, or next thing you've got another game, and it might not happen for a year or two. You, like you say, you might get a couple hundred people down there, if that, all the time, but then all of a sudden, things start falling into place, and this is what I was saying before, it's not an overnight process. No. It could be 10, 15 year process, but as long as you're going forward, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Ultimately, the primary goal should be to give kids opportunity to represent their country, by the Isle of Man, and you know, to progress and maybe make a life out of, you know, being a footballer.
Football's going backwards. The parents are putting kids into other sports, and we're losing participants, which potentially could have been superstars. But you know, obviously overdoing them there, but they could have been, you know, they could be really good.
I went down to watch Douglas Rugby Club in their first game of the season. Obviously they play away in an English league.
North One West, is it?
And it was absolutely brilliant. You know, they had a big crowd down there. There's just so much buzz around the place. And I look at, like, you know, football, and there's more people in the Isle of Man that like football, that play football, and they should be, you know, they should be further than that, but they're not. They're so far behind.
What do you think with the rugby? I totally agree with you, but because there's less teams, there's more, you can get round it more. We've got 26 clubs. 24 clubs.
Yeah.
24 clubs. Does that split the sporting population? You put Frank's counting them up. Thanks, Frank. But do you know what I mean? It, because there's less rugby clubs.
Don't forget, this team's
out. I'm sure if you could, you know, make one club and have one club playing away and still have your domestic league, obviously.
Like Guernsey FC.
Have ruined their local league. But, you know, what's a local league going to do anyway? They're just going to play in the same cups they play every year. So it's not going to, anywhere.
I don't know the answer to this, but like, how have they ruined their?
I don't know. We hear that they've ruined.
They've probably still got the same amount of teams playing each other. Okay, the standard would be worse, but
I'm just looking at it from an Isle of Man's point of view. If I'm just going to use Geordie's because we've been the dominant force, but so if you took St George's out and said, right, you're going to go and play in the English League, I think the Manx League might not be the best standard, but it'd be certainly better to play them for everyone because one to seven could win the league, you know, rather than St George's winning it for the last 12 out of 14 years or whatever the fact is. But I think that's what I mean about Guernsey. People say, oh yeah, that Guernsey FC have wrecked their league, but why have they wrecked their league? Mm. You know, if they took all the best players out to go and play in England, yeah, fair enough. But I think the actual competition in that league then must be miles better, like I'm saying, closer.
Yeah.
Rather than that Guernsey FC team being in that league and just winning it every year.
I think you're probably right. I know when I did an article about Guernsey FC when they were founded, and a lot of it was say that you'd be a bit like a representative side. You get a call up on a Tuesday, right? You're in. If you're not in the squad, you just go back to playing for a club. You'd think training and playing at that higher level, even if you're not doing it every week, it would slowly filter down because you. Guernsey in particular, they're playing 3 games a week most of the time. There's 40 teams in their league or something stupid like that. No, not 40 teams, what's all about? They play about 40 games this season, though. And the amount of players they use, you'd think that would just filter down into the system because you can only take away, I don't know, 15, 16, whatever, every week. But I don't know, without speaking to someone who sports at St Martin's or whatever in Guernsey, you wouldn't be able to.
It's the problem with the whole lot of it, isn't it? You always hear good things from one side of the story, or you always hear the bad things. You never get the full picture, do you? Mm-hmm. It's like anything you could talk about.
Has the Isle of Man ever tried to get any information? Have they tried to do anything?
The only one that seems to be proactive, I mean, not to be controversial, is Malcolm Blackburn. He gets slated, but he's proactive, he's trying to do things, and people just, you know, criticise him.
I'll always take, a lot of people do say bad things about him and all that, but you've got to take, and me being in the Isle of Man and the same as the two lads, you've got to take your hat off to him at some things, as in he's been going since we took him to, he took us to Sweden in 2014. So even if he said 3.5 years, and I'll tell you, he took us on some trips, you know, like we've been around around Europe, we've been around everywhere kind of playing.
Playing.
So, and he's the one that's driving it forward, and then sometimes he's his own worst enemy, the way he kind of pushes it forward. But what he's done in kind of 3 or 4 years, it's been real good.
Well, he's opened a door, hasn't he? We talk about Manx Football. Jack talks about we're at a crossroads here, aren't we? Let's be honest. We've hit the ceiling of what we have done, you know. And Malcolm has shown us that there is other things out there, and fair play to him. But I've always said is it's you guys that make, you know, if you're enjoying playing at football, it's all about what experiences you get as footballers, isn't it? It's what you want to push yourself to.
The players now will always play football. You could put Combs out there and the boys will go out and play against them. But I think it's the people that are in charge that are the ones that are the ones that, you know, put the team where they can go, kind of thing. So they need to be more proactive and do things for the people that play football, that they're representing, basically. It's not the players that go out there and look for leagues to go in and you know, UEFA or tournaments to go in. The players are there to play, I think. I think it's the people that are in charge that need to find a way to push Manx football forward.
I go back to saying that about Jersey, like from Jersey 2 years ago to Gotland, as an Isle of Man player, we played 2 games.
Mm-hmm.
2 games in 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, how is that? What is that right? Or what? No. What? It's stupid, I think. Like, we played against Leeds and Everton, two good games.
Yeah.
But not good enough to just warrant the whole year.
You know,
and we had a good tournament in Jersey. We come off the back of Jersey, we were good. We got beat in the final, but we had a good tournament and we were good. And then we didn't play for ages. And how can you promote? And it's in Manx football as a kid, that's the pinnacle it should be, is in like the Isle of Man football team. Bear in mind, it's not, is it? You want to go and play pro and you want to go to the highlight. But if you're not that thing, to get to the Isle of Man team, that's the men's football team. But 2 games in all that time, they blame it on, there was no NLS, or we got knocked out of the NLS and this and there was that. But look what, like, the other organisation went and done. Like, look at all them tournaments that we've been in, all these random places we've been. Yeah, they are a bit, like, kind of random and off the map, but there's 40 tournaments out there to go and play in, and even hold yourself, you know, like, why couldn't we get, like, a quadrangular over here, you know, why couldn't we be proactive and organise that ourselves?
We've got the facility for it, haven't we?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's lighten the mood a bit.
Yeah.
We've got a bit of Sunday supplement there, didn't we? But, we've had the usual array of Twitter questions, starting with one for you, Al, from Robert Turton. Any chance of you making a brew at work?
We have a little rotation, but I do make the brews quite lightly. It's a bloody toe rag.
That's tremendous, a bloody toe rag.
That must be one of those words that you have to get on the radio.
You've got one in your office there, haven't you, Al? Got it in.
And I also got Penguin in there as well. Always owe me a few.
Are you telling me that Penguin isn't your favourite?
No, it's just, I had to say Penguin and toe rag, and I've said both.
Fair play, they were nicely
disguised.
Alright, Conor Doyle has tweeted, if each of you were in charge of the Isle of Man FA, what rule or change would you introduce to Manx football?
So we sort of covered this, but is there any...
Just like realistic, you could change next year. Yeah. I'd change some of the cups around on days when they are, and have the FA Cup on a Saturday or on a Easter Sunday, is it?
They've changed a lot of things around. So I think France assistance, because he couldn't go out on the lash. I think the Aussie Cup's now moved to Saturdays.
That's brilliant.
The FA Cup finals Easter Saturday.
Brilliant.
So,
this is my last podcast. I
wasn't aware of that. But one other thing, I think there should be more games on the bowl.
Like a Wednesday rotation.
I just think it's better service.
Three on a Saturday.
Proves the standard. There should be 11, 2, and
whatever it is. That's what they do in Malta.
Did you two enjoy Super Sunday, or it's going to be Super Saturday? The other one, they had the two games at Bella Fletcher. Yeah. That was good crack, that.
It's good.
Yeah, that's excellent.
It's obviously hard as a player out there, obviously, because
it's flipping roasting that day.
You don't get to obviously see it because you're just playing your game, aren't you? But for the like kind of atmosphere and get the crowd up there.
It was quite a big crowd, really.
If you are a neutral and your four teams, one of your teams isn't in it, at least you can go up and watch both. You don't have to think, oh, well, I'll go and watch that one, or I'll go and watch that one. But going back to what Al just said there about obviously playing, using the ball more and getting kind of, because to be honest with you, I love playing at St. John's on a Friday night.
Yeah.
It's like great, you know, and
first Friday night game next week, I think.
Yeah, we tried to get ours changed last week, but they wouldn't do it. I don't know, the FA wouldn't allow it.
Well, I saw the tweet Dean said something about refs.
We had a bunch of players missing, which is why we got beat 5-0.
Jack, what rule change would you make?
I don't know, I was trying to think there. I like Dal's idea of using the ball.
Three leagues always get kicked around, you know?
Yeah, there's pros and cons to that, isn't there? I think it's more pros than cons. I think it'll be more competitive for whatever league you're in. I think that you'll enjoy it more. Instead of getting, if you're one of the lower teams, they get spanked by all boys, Russian, Geordies, you know, the top teams, every third game in the league. You can compete with your teams and maybe win something. Yeah.
And it means be after March, there's still something to play for. After January, even in some cases, if you guys have sown the league up. What was it this year? It was February you won the league?
Pretty much.
I mean, then you can have a champions of champions at the end if you want. You know, the three winners go do something together, have a little try tournament. But I think there should be three leagues.
I'd love to see a big change, but it's nothing to kind of the FA content. Yeah. Like club-wise, it would be the pitches. Like I think when you go away, and even when we go away in the county club to play for the Ireland, you go away and you're playing good quality pitches, and it helps the game so much, as in, like, I think in the Isle of Man, the standard of the actual game is down to a lot of the pitches when they become heavy, and it's, like, so, like, you can't sit back and, like, play the ball around, and it's so high-pressed and pushed.
Does he do that anyway? Playing on carpet, you won't do that.
What was it, Frank, you said you've been playing for the national team for 10, 12 years, so the FA team, but it's, like, pitches have improved. They must, even at my time.
Definitely. It's hard because it's all volunteers, isn't it? And they do such a great job. Like we've got Sparky, and you see him, and he's like, it's his own time, and he's up there all the time working on it and doing as much as he can, and it's great. And they have really improved, but it's just like it's trying
that
to get again. It's start of the season. They're all good, aren't they? You know, this kind of time. It's when you start getting into your Novembers, Decembers, January that they are hard to obviously maintain and keep up.
Ramsey's a pitch that hasn't really.
What's funny?
The same. They had the best.
That's when Perry left.
Pez was groundsman of the year or something. And then he
hung up his fork.
Seduced by the bright lights of Laxey, wasn't he? And it sort of gone wrong after
that. Hunter,
isn't
he?
Yeah.
Coming around the coast, didn't he?
Yeah.
His granddad.
Yeah. St. John's had a good pitch with Andy Moore's granddad.
Ross.
So I don't know if the pitches have improved. I kind of disagree with that. I think they've gone worse.
I was thinking, like, last week or the week before, absolutely hammered it down, and there was only two games off. And I know it's early in the season, but to be fair, September's been pretty rubbish, isn't it? The rain.
This week's been bad again.
And it'll be interesting to see how many. I know we've got postponements anyway because of the FA game, but I still be interested. I think if we'd gone back a couple of years, there would be more postponements.
Yeah, no, it's not the postponements that I'm talking about, like quality of pitches, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, whether it can be played or not, you know, it's different.
I see.
I'm on about more like, being able to actually pass the ball on a football pitch.
I'd like to have an Icelandic style soccer dome. I think that'd be ace.
Yeah, more 3G pitches would be the
solution. Connor, he also tweeted a picture of a he said that also whose wash bag was this found in, and it was a picture of the Topic hair building fibers product.
Hair sprinkles.
It could be the picture for a few people. That could be two in this room, I think.
I can't wait to speak about them. Topic, I think, is American make, isn't it? So that narrows it down again.
Right.
I think he's still in America.
Yeah. All right, okay.
He's got a few of them, I think. He's got shampoo and all sorts, doesn't he?
It was Liam.
My mum gave them some hairspray as well.
When we were away with I think it was Ellen Vine, we went in his bag for some shower gel in the changing rooms after the game, and he was in the shower and he shouted for shower, and one of the lads went in and he found that, but then there was a handful of stuff in there, so he's so paranoid about his hair. It's unbelievable what off he's got of his hair left.
To be fair, if he's professional now, he probably get a sponsorship deal out of it.
Maybe, but
do you not remember when might be a bit young, but in the Sunday papers, there used to be like Shane Warne would have like before and after, and
Yeah, you could go for that, couldn't you?
I think we named
them
yet.
I think we've got enough clues, Frank.
Yeah, sorry, yeah, Jack.
But this sort of, in no sort of way links.
Yeah, it's a purely coincidence, this. Connor also asks, on a scale of 0 to 100, how worried should Liam Doyle be for the Stag in December?
Ask them to. They're organising it.
Everyone's very quiet.
Well, he doesn't stop messing me about it, so...
Where are you going? Or is that can you not reveal the destination?
We can reveal it.
Yeah, we can go... Yeah, we're going to Benidorm.
Oh, are you allowed back?
So, yeah, he'll know what's coming to a point. The best thing about him, though, he's got to be very much, does he? Oh, he's got to know everything. He has got to, like, so we've got, like, WhatsApp groups without him in. We've got, like, Facebook groups without him in, all trying to organise it all. But he's, like, constantly on to everyone. And, like, people are like, oh, Liam's messaging me. And he's trying to find all the info. We're trying to keep it that well away.
Because he's got so much time in his hands now, he's a professional. Well, yeah.
Al, we had a few, we got a few costumes delivered up yours, didn't we?
Yeah.
So, we're just trying to pick a few.
You'll send a spy around to my house now to try and
pick up. If you had a photo of Al's dad now, saying, yeah, is there any parcels coming there?
Well, I'm sure we'll won't be allowed to mention it on air.
But, yeah, we're going to see some videos of you kicking the chair out from Dicko. Or
we should also mention... Liam's Sweet Park Rangers have made the playoffs last 10 days, I think. So this is what their last regulation season game is on Sunday, I think, is it? Or Saturday, Sunday?
So now, they've already qualified, haven't they?
All we need now for Liam is to do is to make up the manager and try and get back in the team.
Pissing off, Liam, pissing off. I saw Joe Cole got Tampa Bay Rowdies into the playoffs last night. He's looking like he's put on a bit of pie.
A little bit.
Me and Jack lived in Tampa for a while. We can understand why.
Unbelievable place.
And Didier here banged in a couple of goals for the lovely named Phoenix Rising last night, the night before.
They've got some great names out
there. Yeah, I know. I guess they seem to change them by the season. Oh, that hasn't worked. That's not very remarkable. We'll come up with something else. Liam has actually tweeted in a question.
Oh, good God. Right, so he asks, having played it at all, where would you like to see Mouse Football go from here?
Well, I think we've covered this.
Yeah, just done about half an hour.
But to be fair, he does say he signs it off.
He signs off Harold, yeah, we just have to mention that.
Callum Morrissey said, who's got less hair, myself or Liam Doyle?
Close.
Callum gets away because he's got light hair.
But I think Callum's had the same for 15 years. So. I think Liam's overtook him, to be honest. I think Liam's not long left.
I think one of you can judge it when Liam comes back at Christmas.
We'll have see him for a bit. Picture, yeah.
You might see him be like...
Well, it depends if he gets this deal with Topic. It could be having an afro by the time he comes back.
You're like, Flynn? That could be one of his outfits in Benetton. We just need the kit.
Andy Ball, the Biscuit King. What does it take to stop Pekka scoring a ridiculous amount of goals week in, week out?
Playing centre midfield.
Yeah.
He'll love that.
There's the answer.
There you go.
You can't stop him when he's up front. He's proven it for 12, however many years he's done
and
it for.
He's played centre midfield for us a little bit, yeah. And then he played.
And he wasn't scoring.
And he wasn't scoring. Put him up front. Last season scored six, yeah.
Right, Jim Cooper, another one for you, Al. How many sausages did you eat at Aunt Dooley's before the Old Boys game?
Oh, I don't know. I must have had about six or seven sausages.
You've got to give us a bit of backstory.
It was horrific. I was playing, and Josh Thomas was actually watching the game at the time, and he goes, "Buddy, you didn't move watching the first half. Did you want to be there?" And I said, "Mate, I wanted to be there, but I had about 15 sausages in my belly, so I couldn't move."
Is this a St Mary's theme bonding thing? They all got, is it right now?
Yeah, we just go to different houses or different restaurants for breakfast, yeah. But Anthony made the breakfast that day and I probably bought about seven or eight sausages down there.
You should result though, didn't you?
Yeah, we won 4-0.
Clean sheet.
What are they about Old Boys? I don't know. Joey Andrews, our podcast favourite. Yeah. Can you all do your best Lee Dixon impersonations? Who wants to kick this one off?
Well, I don't even know.
I've got one, and I think he knows what it is, but it can't be said on air. No, we can't.
Well,
it's something about Old Boys. No, it's something about Old Boys car park.
Old Boys car park.
And you'll know what we mean by that, but it can't be said on air.
Should we go over that, Jack? You look like you've got a wry smile.
Right. One for you here, Frank, from the official MIFA Twitter feed.
Still hasn't got a blue tick, I noticed, the official MIFA Twitter account.
He'll have that now, he's got it. That'll be done on Saturday.
Frank, what's your fascination with fire extinguishers? What's the backstory to this?
I think we could probably fill the blanks here, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what
story do you want?
The one that he's actually talking about, I had nothing to do with.
Do tell.
It was someone else in Cyprus.
Why would?
It was, as you can imagine, a 5-star resort in Cyprus that we took us to.
Another place the Manx can't go back to.
And it was, to be honest with you, the hotel was amazing. It's like where you take like your missus and family and all that. Well, we've had a few drinks. We kept getting moved around the hotel because it was like all-inclusive type things. So we were like, we were out of the bar, onto the beach. And to be fair, Liam Cowan, we got this flag, and I'm not joking, you should have seen it. It must have been about 6 metres square. And we got it on a post. He climbed up the thing on the beach, the, like, you know, the tower, the lifeboat yeah. tower. And he, like, tied it. I don't even know how he done it. Tied it to there, and you should have seen it. It was like, the whole thing was just on the beach, wasn't it? It was massive. Anyway, we ended up back in the hotel later on. Someone, I was there, it wasn't me. And they know it wasn't me. Knocked on a Jack's door, it was actually, after Sean Doyle.
Inexperienced man, Sean
Inexperienced
Doyle.
Inexperienced man, Sean Doyle, answers the
Who
door.
Who answers at 4 a.m.?
I don't can't believe Jack didn't tell him, though, don't answer the
door. Well, I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I thought it would be like war or something.
I'm not joking, it was unbelievable. Honestly, I've never seen anything like it. The whole room was
because it was a powdered
soaking.
Fire extinguisher. It wasn't like, it just went everywhere.
I got back
Jack
in bed.
Jack came out like Frosty the Snowman.
I got back in a bed and thought, I'll just go to bed. There was like hotel, there was police, there was everyone knocking around. I got back in the hotel bed and I thought, thing, and then my roommate came in and said, you better come and help me clean this up. I went back out in the corridor, opened the door, and I could not see the room across the way from me. The whole corridor was just covered, and
we've been discussing whether the Alaman is ready for UEFA. I don't think UEFA is ready for the Alaman, to be honest. Can you imagine doing that with sharing a hotel with Germany? You know, knocking on Miroslav Klose's door or Schweinsteiger. You alright, mate?
No characters in the game anymore.
That's why Al keeps saying he's retiring, because there's no characters in the game. Because when he went on that trip, that's why he's back.
Adrian Rashid, Manx Football's Facebook favourite, has been on. He says, it's no question from him today, just wanted to say good luck. So, you know, he's a big fan of you, Frank.
I like him.
I was actually just going to ask.
He's a character.
He's a good laugh, isn't
he? Yeah, I like him.
Yeah. Some of his stories are so funny. I just want to know, though, if I score on Saturday and we win, can I have another super in front of my name?
Okay, fair dues. I thought you were going to unveil some sort of Agent Rashid t-shirt or something.
No, I could put like a mask on, couldn't I? Yeah. You know, let the boys do in Germany.
Well, Agent Rashid, just to confirm, he's doing our Christmas special this year.
Is
for
he
the podcast. He's doing the podcast. So there you go, boys. You have to listen to that one.
Right, former teammate of yours, Adam Long, obviously the teenage prodigy. Now, Wigan, he's asking Jordy for the Grand Slam again.
I mean, probably favourites.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do. I want to say yes,
yeah.
But you never know. The cup games, anyone can win. League were probably more favourites than the other for the cup. But
are Corinthians breathing down your neck a bit this year? Are you feeling the heat from that? Or?
Mary's did the same
last year. Mm. I mean, Peel did the same. They probably should have won the league, whatever year it was, 2 years ago, where they slipped up. We've always had one or two teams bearing down on us, but it's just
it's what we want. We'd like to have Corinthians at full strength. We'd like to have Peel at full strength. We'd like to have St Mary's, Russian, Old Boys, anyone like kind of full strength. But I think from a club point of view, I think every year we set out that's our aim, and I don't know what anyone else is up. Because we're not involved in any other clubs, what their aim is at the start of the year to win one trophy, Railway Cup qualification, anything like that. But I think our aim is to win the Grand Slam every year, and that'll be the same this year. We'll be able to try and do it
back to back, first club ever.
That'd be something, wouldn't it? That'd be the aim.
Another feather.
Did you do that last year?
No, we missed a year, didn't we?
Yeah.
All
right. Another feather for Chris Bell Senior's tremendous hat. Right, before we look ahead to Saturday's league fixtures with the boys, Dave, you caught up with Lewis after the Alaman FA's dramatic Youth Cup victory over Cumberland last week.
Yeah, understandably delighted with the win. He's already looking forward to the next round.
I have to say, this is one of my favourite Dave Norton interviews because you started with the phrase, bloody hell.
Yeah, couldn't get much nicer than that.
So we'll have a listen to that now.
Lewis, bloody hell, where do you start with that?
121st minute winner. What a way to do it. First win in 7 years.
Yeah.
For this young team.
Yeah, first win in a long time, but
they
certainly deserved it. They played really, really well the whole way through the game.
Yeah.
Came back three times from going a goal behind and then went on and got the winner right at the death and fully deserved it. We were the much better
totally.
Team the whole way through. So
I mean, you know, it was two goals in as many minutes right at the end, so to keep going, dig deep that well, I mean, it just shows the grit of this young side, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I said before the game on a couple of interviews on the podcast and things like that, they've got good mental strength and they've got a hell of a lot of desire, this little group. So I think they showed it the whole way through, and they didn't give up all the way to the end, and they went behind three times, but came through in the end. And what a way to win it!
What a way to win it, indeed. I mean, each goal, to be fair, was against the run of play. I mean, the first goal was after only 4 minutes, but you'd already started so well, hadn't you? A couple of chances, and they really took the game to them, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I mean, we know this always seems to happen against us, and something we might need to try and tweak and change, that we concede a lot from set pieces.
Yeah.
And we've got to work on it. And it happened last year.
Yeah.
It's happened again this year. So something I've got to try and iron out and change.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was just buzzing for the lads. I think they're really, really excited to win the game, and we deserved it. I mean, we dominated possession for the whole game.
Absolutely.
They barely strung a pass together. So, and we had so many chances in the first half. At half time, we were saying to them, look, listen, stick to the game plan.
Yeah.
Keep believing in yourself, it will come. And it did.
You got the equaliser fairly early in the second half, didn't you? And that set the platform again.
Lovely goal from Johnny Quirk as well. He's taken that really well.
It was
on his left foot. I mean, so, and he's, as the game's gone on, he's got really, really good, in my opinion. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then we had a couple of problems, obviously, with cramp.
Yeah, and then it looked for all the world like Cumberland were going to nick that in the last minute when they chipped the keeper, and it landed just over the bar. Well, couldn't have been much closer. But
as I say, that's the luck that we needed, and it came for us. They had a lot of luck.
They did.
I mean, their goalkeeper tried to dribble it out, and somehow we didn't put it in the back of net. They score from a free kick, they score from a corner. So
we have to give Cumberland credit for that third goal of theirs in extra time. It was a good hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very nice.
It was very nice.
Very nice.
And then, but yeah, to come back, I mean, you know, players were tired. You said even after like 85 minutes, the players were cramping up. To dig deep another half an hour later and then get two goals in the last 2 minutes.
As I say, we had a bit of a problem, and I had to make sure that we managed it, because Lewis Brideson was cramping and we had to take him off eventually. Johnny Quirk cramped up, and Sidney Batty was actually the first one to cramp up, but I couldn't take him off the pitch.
He was outstanding.
I knew he'd run through cramp personally. I know what Sid's about, and I think he showed everybody here today what he's about. He will not give up on anything.
No.
And he'll go right to the end, and the bitter end, and he did.
So, hands down man of the match. I mean, it's hard to pick a man of the match in that game, but he was brilliant today.
Yeah, he was really good. He's a good player. He's obviously testing himself, and he's going away off to Myersko College.
Yeah.
And he's working hard at his football, and he wants to become a professional footballer. Let's see if he can. All he's got to do is keep believing himself, keep playing over at that level across, and see what happens for him.
Absolutely. And quick word, we've got Lancashire next, I believe. Is that home tie?
Yeah. So as I say, Lancashire next. We lost in the first round to them 2-1 last year, and that was a close game.
Yeah.
So it's an opportunity for us to try and get revenge. It's an opportunity for us to get more people down to the bowl.
Yeah, were you happy with the crowd today?
I was happy with the crowd. Obviously, for the first round, I want to try and double it for the second round. Yeah. That's the plan. I want people to get behind these lads. I think they deserve it. So come on down, watch them, get behind them, and let's put Lancashire out next round as well.
Fantastic. Well done, mate.
Thank you very much, mate.
Right, welcome back, lads. We've still got the gaggle of Isle of Man FA players here. Jack McVeigh, Frank Jones and Alex Harrison. We're going to look ahead quickly to Saturday's other fixtures, apart from yourself. You're, of course, kicking off at 6 o'clock. Frank, you want the ball bouncing, do you?
Yeah, it's always nice, isn't it? It's usually we do get a good support down there. With obviously not playing for a while, that could be a bit of a stumbling block. But coming back off the back of a gold medal, hopefully that'll entice a few people down and we can get a packed out bowl down there.
And if you don't, guys, don't drag it out to extra time, people should still be home for X Factor and Strictly, shouldn't they? So
I think it's through on the Villa we're fighting.
Yeah, of course.
And that's where everyone will be.
And that'll be
more bouncing than the football.
Well, there you go. Well, I would personally down watching you guys. I think it'll be a good game. So
should be a good one.
Well, there's three games in the Premier League, Dave.
Starting off with Laxey St John's, which is the one I'll be going to.
Yep.
This could be a close game. Obviously, St John's beat St Mary's last week.
I was at fault for three goals. It was all down to me.
How many sausages did you have before the game?
No, I had a few drinks on the drive.
So are we saying, have you played Laxey yet?
No, we haven't played them yet, no.
You have, guys. They've got some good young lads in there, haven't they, this year?
Yeah, they're very organised. They're a good side. Same as St John's, though. St John's are always difficult to beat.
St John's first victory, though, last week, they've had a bit... I think the fixture list hasn't been the kindest, but they've been a bit slow getting going.
I think they drew a few games.
So, where are we going to go with this one? I think this will be a draw, personally.
Yeah, well, there's only 1 point separating them in the league. Yeah. I know it's early days, obviously, but I'm going to say home advantage. I'll give Laxey.
Jack?
I think I'll go with Laxey, I think.
Frank?
I'm going to go the other way. I'm going to go with St John's, mainly probably just the kind of the strength factor maybe against the kind of younger Laxey side, yeah, because I think that's where we kind of ran out in the end against them, but we were against the ropes for a long period of the game.
Alex?
I'll go with St John's.
Cool. Douglas Royal, it's a bit of a derby of sorts, play Douglas High School boys at Bala Fletcher. You can say Blackberry Lane, Bala Fletcher. Royal need to stop picking points up, really. As we've said about four times, it's only early in the season, but they haven't had the best of starts to life in the Premier League, do they?
Well, no, they've already played Ramsey and Colby, and those are the games they need to target to win. You know, they're not going to trouble the so-called bigger sides, your Geordies, Corinthians, St Mary's and that, but... You know, they might just fancy nicking a point off Old Boys because they haven't really got into their stride yet, have they?
No, Old Boys, obviously we talk about sausage-fueled 4-0 win. But yeah, you were surprised they were
First off, they were probably the better team against us. We kind of defended quite well, but they ran out of gas after about 55 minutes. We scored a goal and they just capitulated. So, but they're a good team. I mean, Maka was brilliant against us.
Yeah, he seems to have played well at the moment. Boys, what do you think? Old Boys should win this one, but... Royalists are sort of struggling to get going this year, aren't they?
Yeah, I can't see anything maybe bar an Old Boys win, but like you say, Royals need to start kind of getting their act together, and if they can, even in games like this, you've just got to maybe try and nick a draw, haven't you?
Yeah.
Considering the games that they've had already,
they're
probably one of the favourites to go down now, aren't they, after not picking those points up.
The third game, Colby, one of the teams that we expect to be down the foot of the table towards the end of the season. They take on Corinthians, with the Geordies have the 100% record in the league at the moment, top of the standings by 3 points, but only because they've got the game more, I would say.
Obviously, Corinthians have a chance to put a bit of breathing space between them and Geordies, but obviously it's all down to games in hand. But Colby, special mention to them, obviously they thrashed Ramsey a few weeks ago 7-1. They took a lot of confidence from that, I think.
Yeah, by watching against Braddon, they weren't particularly at the races that day. Danny Lane went off quite early on. Jordan Primrose Smith was back though, so if they can get them too far in, they've got a chance. But you'd have to favour Corinthians, although they'll be missing a few.
Yeah, obviously Dan Simpson, Adam Killier in the Ireland squad. Sean Doyle's injured.
He's Chris Cannell's still out as well.
Both knee injuries.
Closer than it should be, I think.
Yeah. Corinthians should have enough strength and depth, though, you'd think. They seem to have a bit decent combi this year.
Yeah, they're just getting over the line, aren't they? You know, and there's a lot of games that have been very close, but they've ground them out and won, and that goes a long way in the season. You know, maybe last year they lost them games or drew, but this year they seem to be... You don't have to... As long as you win, you don't have to batter teams, do you?
Who are they missing?
Sean Doyle, Adam Killier, and... Sorry, I'm laughing there.
We've let poor day like...
Dave did just listen. But,
I'm sorry. I was thinking about the Royals Old Boys game, so I never actually give you a score for that.
About them sausages, like...
We didn't ask you.
No, you didn't ask me.
Oh, sorry.
I'm going to go with a draw.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. 0-0.
Okay, 0-0. 0-0.
And a couple of red cards, yeah. I think Josh Evans will probably get sent off.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Hence his old club, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Adam Killier, Dan Simpson, and Sean Doyle.
Sorry, I didn't. I was.
Cannell still out.
And Chris Cannell was. Slow up, so they're missing a few. But Adam McCulloch seems to be, I don't want to infringe on Combi Corner, Dave, but Adam McCulloch seems to be banging them in.
Got five the other week, didn't he? So, banging them in.
And Luke Murray was man of the match, we believe, last week.
Yeah. Absolutely. Right, Division 2.
Division 2, big game at the stadium.
We're sending our main man to this one, aren't we, Hattie?
The Hitman Hatton, the multimedia mogul, who couldn't listen. This is quite good, quite interesting. This, he couldn't listen to the podcast last week because the cruise liner he was on, which was in the Adriatic,
with Jim Cooper.
With Jim Cooper, and apparently half of Paul Rose were on it as well. But he was saying that they wouldn't let him, their Wi-Fi wouldn't let him log on to the website, so he was censored by that Norwegian shipping liner.
We've been censored by a lot of people though, so
yeah, fair enough. Yes, so Castdown Foxtail, he'll be there. This one, I think I'm going to favour Foxtail for this one.
They will be favourites, I think. You know, they were knocked off top spot last week. They were held to a draw by Moran, so that's the end of their 100% winning run. But yeah, they're right up there. They're only a point behind Pulley, I think, at the top, and you fancy their chances. Castletown, they lost to Governors a few weeks ago, I think. And I haven't really played since, so they'd be eager to get back to action and back to winning ways. But yeah,
do you guys have a chance to look at much Division 2?
I think Castletown won that game. I know they lost against Governors, but they had a blow missing apparently, and someone went off injured. They had one sub, so I think Castletown. Yeah, I personally think Castletown won that.
I don't really know a lot about them, but it's just Castletown are usually always a good side, aren't they? But they've gone down.
Sleeping giants of Manx football.
Years, but they could get a result.
Like Leeds.
Yeah.
You can get a result here or there, but
I'm going to go Foxtail, I think.
Right, fair dude. Jay Chatwood banging him in for fun. Silver boot tip seems to be coming good for once.
Oh, it's him and Steve Glover though, isn't it?
Do you not do like the Super 6 on this, do you?
We should do, should we?
We'll pay out £2.50.
Talking of Silver Boot contenders, Stephen Glover and his Paul Rose team travelled to Moran. They won 11-0 last week.
Against Governors, yeah. Steve got 6 goals, I think, was it? He's flying at the top of the Silver Boot stand. But Moran, like I said before, they stopped Foxdale last week, so you know they may just fancy their chances of getting another point or three here. Who knows?
It depends very much what Pulley side turns up, though, doesn't it? They've got a very attack-minded 11. So
yeah, well, I watched them against Malou a couple of weeks back, and Glover and Barry English, Nathan Yates, all them boys. They're linking up really well. They've formed a good partnership already, so you know they could go far this season.
I think it depends what happens on Friday night. See what happens.
Frank, Paul, you know, you settled about Castdown being a bit of a sleeping giant. Paul Rose was always a team that seemed to be there or thereabouts, never quite
always,
make it up.
Yeah, you've always kind of got to go with them when someone like, they've got Stephen Glover playing up front and he's going to score, he'll probably win the golden boot, the silver boot this year, and he'll score you a hatful of goals. He's probably far too good to be playing kind of in Division 2, I think anyway. But yeah, I'd probably go for Paul Rose just within.
Al, have you got any inside knowledge on the Paul Rose team?
No, not really. James Gillen
players last week or something.
I'm gonna go with Paul Rose.
Yeah, they're looking good. Paul Rose is going to be a guest in a couple of weeks, I think. Dave,
you certainly is.
You've already been on to his agent, haven't you?
Yes, that's it. I had to book him in early, but he's got other media commitments. So.
Yeah, a bit like Frank. He's on, every time I put the computer on, he's on. Appears on the screen now. Malou Onken, Andy Glover. He was taking advantage of the. You can sign for switch clubs until 31st of December. If both clubs agree, he's gone from Braddon to Malou.
Yeah, bit of a surprise, wasn't it? Really.
Well, because I spoke to him the other week and he said, "I've been training, but I don't think I'll play because he obviously had that bad injury last year." But he's coming in next week. He's going to give us his side of the story.
His exclusive, yep.
Podcast exclusive. They take on Onken, what should be a good game.
Yeah, definitely. I saw Malou a couple weeks ago. They were a little bit unlucky against Paul Rose. They pushed them hard, but you know, a bit of indiscipline let them down towards the end. But again, they've got a very talented squad. If they can keep the ball firing on all cylinders, then they've got every chance. I know. Furby played up front last week for them, bagged a hat trick. So you know, if he could take that.
They've still got Flanny as well, isn't it? So they've got goals aplenty. Onken, though, it will be a good test of their progress because they were quite organised under David recently.
They are, and I mean, they surprised a lot of people last year. They did really well, got top four finish, got to the Woods Cup final, and they seem to be building on that. You know, they're just steadily going about their business, picking up the wins, so they're there or thereabouts. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they've got a draw out of this one.
I'm waiting for the day until Tristan tempts Julian back to his hometown club.
They're all going back on.
Yeah. Are they?
Him and Callum.
Junior. They're all going
back on. When they're in their 50s or?
They all keep threatening, get them out.
So, lads, Malou Wong, in prediction time, Jack.
I think I'll go for Malou. They've been doing well all year, I think.
Frank?
Yeah, I'm going to go Malou.
Alex?
Yeah, same.
Clean sweep. Governors Athletic, have sort of been a bit inconsistent on their return to Division 2.
They have, but your man Dean Tate is scoring goals, so...
He hasn't scored as many as I thought he would, though. He scored 15 in the Premier League last year for a team that were...
He's a good player.
...well and truly relegated by Christmas. Mm. Well, nearly by Christmas. I think they survived into the new year just, but...
Just, yeah. By, I think, his last minute equaliser against Ramsey was also relegation the week before Christmas, but... As you say, Ayr have been very inconsistent. Governors, again, they've had a tricky start to the season, but that win over Castletown has given them huge confidence, and they'll know that on their day, they can push the teams above them and they can get a result. So I think this will be closer than expected, but I reckon Ayr will still win this.
Jack?
I'm going to go with Governors.
Ooh. Frank?
No, I'm going to say, like you say, they've got a goal scorer in Tate, and that goes a long way, doesn't it?
Alex?
Yeah, I think Governors Athletic just signed Chris Brown.
Right.
Not that Chris Brown, another Chris Brown, so I'm going to go with Governors Athletic. Chris Brown to score a hat-trick.
Exclusive.
Right.
Player.
Exclusive's in this division too, haven't
he? He's been doing his homework. It's nice to see. Union Mills versus Michael. Union Mills, are you brave for this one? But Michael did their first double since 2015.
You're raining in on my parade.
I've done it again, sorry.
Michael, for their first win of the season last week against Jim's, so they'll be massively buoyed by that. But Union Mills should be too strong for them. They finally got their first win of the season a couple of weeks ago at Mills after a tricky start to the season, so I think they'll build on that now and they'll push up towards the top end of the table.
Gary Moore's always a lovely spot to play at this time of year, isn't it, lads?
Yeah.
Talking about pitches again and weather. Has Hurty not signed for Kurt Michael?
He has scored 2 goals on a couple of weeks ago.
Mills will be regretting letting their kids go to Geordie's now.
You're not a big fan of Gary Moore, Al?
No. I don't play away games anymore.
To be fair, it's better than all.
Don't play away games.
Is that in your contract? Or?
Yeah.
His highlight of Man's football career was up at that pitch.
Yeah.
It was last actually. Minute winner. Took his shirt off. He's running around.
when was that?
Years ago. It was good. Falky was manager at the time.
For Geordie's?
Yeah. We were getting beat 1-0 with about 10 minutes to go. And I made one goal and then scored in the last minute.
Fantastic.
Took his shirt off.
He got the biggest praise ever off senior. Senior doesn't praise anyone, but he got a big praise on.
Well, he praises you. Chris.
Did you immediately get frostbite for taking the top off up there?
I can't remember. I was just that happy.
Will you take your top off on Saturday if you score?
Yeah, I score, I will, yeah. As long as I'm not on a booking already.
It's going to be like Pikegate all over again. Yeah.
Shaving chest right now.
So yeah, here this will be close, but I'm going to give this a slight home edge to the home team then.
Yeah, Mills should win this one, I think.
Jack?
I think Union Mills.
I'm going Michael.
Ooh.
Michael.
2 Michaels, okay. Last game in Division 2, Jim's Youthy. Jim's pointless and at the bottom of the table. Not a great start to the season.
No, but it is a year of transition for them.
Geordie's nicking their best players. Yeah, Barry
and that's what we
Mark.
Do, I think. According to everyone. Yeah, Barry's done well, actually, at Geordie's. So he's obviously a big miss for Jim's.
Mark's got a few for the Combi as well, hasn't he, Mark?
Yes. Another really big
I think Mark will play his part in our first team as the season goes on. He's very good technically in the gym and training when we're doing five-a-side and things like that. You can see he's a good player. I think as the season goes on, I think he'll get called upon.
But you should favour this. They're going to be up there. They've got a couple of your ex-players, Johnny Lund and Harry Weather, all are there. So they should be favourites for promotion to that league. I think you tipped them.
Yeah, a lot of people are tipping them to go up.
I think they'll win the league.
Yeah, good side there. But, I mean, you look at this game on paper, you can only see Youthy winning it. Jim's year of transition, they're still short on players. I think Tony put out his weekly tweet.
He's after a centre forward now.
Yeah.
So has anyone got one down the sofa?
Gavin Hunt's available, isn't it? Right.
He actually is, you know. Yeah.
Is he unattached?
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's away with Chris at the minute doing his fire
thing,
but when he gets back, he's going to get back playing again, I think.
Gavin Hunt.
So he could be the man to save them?
There we go.
There we go. We heard it here first.
He's looking to get back into it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, there we go. Tony Sewell, should we pass on Gavin's details to Tony and get in touch?
We should be football agents, mate.
There's only one football agent in Max Football, after Peter Kinnish, and that's Adrian Rashid.
And Vinny Dale, but he's retired.
So we're all going for a away win in that one, chaps?
Yeah, I think it's a big score away win.
Well, I'm looking at it, it seems to be raining again, so Tremode could be underwater by Saturday. Dave, before we leave, there's a couple of things to go. Combi Corner?
Yeah, just Combi Corner, yeah. Special mention to Corinthians. Obviously, the Combi side beat Bradon 4-0 last week, so they've got top of that league as well. And obviously, with the first team top, the Women's League are also top, so they're actually, you know, they're ahead in all three leagues at the moment, which is just deserving a special mention. Russian and Old Boys have also continued their 100% winning starts. Bit of news, Dean Turton stepped down as Combi manager of Laxey.
Breaking news.
about 4 days out of date, yeah.
Seen his post on Facebook?
He said he couldn't, his promises from before the season couldn't be upheld.
If you want to know, contact him.
We'll have to get Dean in.
I did contact him on Twitter and he told me.
What did he say, Al?
That's between me and you.
Did you slip him a DM?
Yeah, I said, what's up, mate? No, I said, what's up, and he slipped me a DM.
There you go.
In my DMs. Coming in hot.
Do we know if Laxey replaced him? Or?
Yes, John Palmer's took over. So he's be interesting to see how he gets on. Should be an interesting
season.
Last
week's Junior Cup finals, obviously lost to St Mary's in the final, was that?
Absolutely.
I was one of the three at that match last year. any more, Dave, Chris?
Just turn attention to Combi 2. It's quite tight at the top. Youthy, Castletown and Pulley are all level with 15 points. And Malou and Onken aren't doing too bad either. They're breathing down the necks. So it could be an interesting season ahead for them. And you touched on it before. We were looking at Divi 2. But Michael, their Combi side won 3-2 at Jim's last week. With the first team winning 2-1. It's their first double since November 2015. So well done to Michael.
I think it was against Scotland as well, wasn't it?
It was against Scotland.
Right, before we go, FIFA came out last week, lads. Any of you run a game and got it at midnight? No,
I'm not a big FIFA player. Not really.
Frank? I try.
Yeah, have you got it? Al, do you know?
No, I don't.
But Shay Sharkey's on it.
I've seen that.
Yeah, he's got a 53 rating, which I think's a bit harsh.
It's a bit high, isn't it?
I was looking. Are you able to tell me more about this, Frank? Foothead ratings, or this might be the website taking it off. Is it future? What's the thing where you trade?
Ultimate Team.
Right? Yeah, Ultimate Team.
Yeah.
It says he's got a beast rating of 67.
Beast rating.
Is that because he puts his head where he shouldn't? Yeah, because he's had concussion more times than.
I'm not actually too sure. That must be a new thing this year.
And he said he's down as a right back, but I'm pretty sure he's played centre half every time we've seen him.
Yeah, but he was on the last FIFA as well, wasn't he? He was down as a right back as
was
well.
He?
Yeah, so he has been playing there.
I'll give you his stats. He's got pace 48. Do we agree with that? Shooting 29.
Al looks like he doesn't agree with that.
That pace is quite reasonable.
He's against me, he's 100.
Passing 42.
He's got a very good pass. He should be up in the 70s.
Dribbling 47.
It's a bit high, isn't it?
His defence is just 55 and physicality 52.
That could be high again.
Bit high. There's loads more stats. No, I've actually read them all. So 53 I think is a bit harsh, but having looked at the rest of Sligo Rovers squad, that is quite in tune with them, in line with them.
It just depends who you're comparing it to, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Going back to the thing, if you're comparing it to the Alaman, are you comparing it to the world?
Frank, have you bought Kieran Tierney on it yet?
Yeah, he's on there.
I actually haven't, no. I tried by Liam Doyle on it, but he hasn't made it yet. So.
Kieran is a 74, but you look to. I think isn't this cheating where you can find out what their potential is going to be?
Potentially. It changes when they do the updates halfway through the season, though.
But his potential is 85.
I think he should be better than that, shouldn't
he? He should be higher than 74.
His
shooting was very low, and I haven't seen that goal he scored.
You should have had his stats against Sheamus, and then you could have come
I don't think it was fair on Kieran to do that.
That's fair enough.
Football Manager's out in a couple of months, so we all try and fail to sign Liam because he never seems to want to leave America.
Is he on Football Manager?
He was last year.
That's his girlfriend not letting him leave America. His wife. Sorry, his wife.
I tried to sign him for York City last year and he wouldn't come. So, balls to you, Liam.
That's probably Brittany saying no.
Yeah. York's lovely. You know, conference football. I'm sure you enjoy that. But he wasn't up for that. Right, that's enough. I've just looked at it. That's an hour and 20 minutes we waffled
that's
on
a record.
Today. That's an absolute record. I should say, Alex Rich holds the record for podcasts last year. 723 listens he got for his podcast last year.
That's because of your Chinese, wasn't it?
I don't know. You're all trying to figure out which is the best Chinese.
Yeah, that
went on for the year, that did.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you keep a total tally?
Yeah, well, we sort of did. It was Williston and Pulley were the two, two favourites, yeah.
Willis has gone downhill a bit now, I think.
I wasn't got Willis anymore, where are you now?
Hot walk.
Is that a change?
That next to the Jacks?
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay. And was that the Alex Harrison's Chinese approach?
I don't know, last year, but it is this year.
It's because he stumbles out of Jacks. So he has the blonde poses.
Too impatient.
Where does the best sausages?
Andy Dooley's.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy Dooley's just a decent sausage.
You heard that here first. Right, lads, thanks for coming in. Best of luck for Saturday. I'm sure you'll be having a plate of sausages to warm up for the match. Obviously, good luck next week in Scotland. You get some haggis as well next week, as well as some
deep-fried Mars bars.
Deep-fried Mars bars, yeah. It's going to be a culinary trip as well as a footballing trip. As I say, good luck. Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, good luck on the weekend, guys.
Cheers,
thank you.
You can remember you can listen to all the footy pods, including last season's back catalogue, where Alex discusses his favourite Chinese, and Frank, you were in with Lee Dixon, wasn't it?
I got the odd word in, didn't I?
They're all online at audioboom.com/channel/ManxFootball, and of course we're on iTunes and TuneIn, for those of you who are that way inclined. That's it. Finally, if you can't make it to the game, if you're at the Thrill at the Villa, which is a heinous crime, a horrible clash of fixtures in my book, but I'll be there so at the match on Saturday. So if you want to follow at @ManxFootyBlog, there will be updates galore. Dave, you'll be tweeting as well from Laxey St John.
Certainly will, yes.
Right, until next week.
Ta-ta for now.